Good morning, and I'll be talking to you about Russian nurses and some models of care that they use there, which does include Eastern and Western practices. I have no relationships to disclose. Well, starting with the healthcare system in Russia, I thought I'd give you a little bit of a background on it. It is an illness-focused system, and as I mentioned, they do practice Western and Eastern medicine. Health education and health promotion are really new terms, and they really don't even have a word that describes it the way we understand it to be. Excuse me. Health risk appraisal and screening activities, such as for flu shots or screening for and any kinds of things, that are just not done. Group health education isn't done either, but it is starting slowly with diabetics. If there isn't any individualized health care or education that goes on, it's typically done by the physicians. Now, the patients are interested in health maintenance and taking care of themselves, but the physicians mistrust the patients. They think that they're not able to do that. And so that's one of the reasons that, you know, education isn't being done. The Russian people do seek health care only when sick. They'll try herbals, teas, massage, and other forms of Eastern medicine before they'll try Western medicine. Let me tell you a little bit about how their system is organized, and I think probably many of you have seen their stacking dolls, and that's kind of how the country is organized in the healthcare system also. So you'll have your large regional hospitals, and they're usually very specialized hospitals. And under them are the district hospitals, and in the districts, they'll have their medical institute hospitals that are linked with medical institutes where doctors and nurses are taught. And under that is polyclinics, and everybody is assigned to a polyclinic and within your district to a district hospital. Basic health care is guaranteed through the government, and it is paid by the government. Fee-for-service is starting, and so people can get that through some of their employers, or they can purchase it outright. And this is a picture of a hospital in a rural town, about 5,000. And as you see here, this is the record keeping and admitting, and everything is still collected on by hand. It's not computerized. And interestingly, the doctors do give the patients their records. And then when they come to visit at the clinics, this is at a hospital, it's different, they have to bring those records with them. Most of the hospital rooms are wards, anywhere from 4 to 6 people. Now, if you have purchased insurance, what that does is you can have a room with only one bed, an individual room. This is a pediatric home. We all like children, so I thought I had to include that picture. But the children are also in wards. This is an operating room at that hospital. And this is one of the polyclinics actually I take students to that work here at this polyclinic. And this one services 10,000 people. And what they have is they'll have an adult health, they'll have pediatrics, they have dentistry, tuberculosis, narcology, which is drug addiction, and they finally got a lab. They hadn't had a lab for a long time. And these are some people waiting to be seen by the doctors. And how appointments are made, they're not made. You can't call and say, well, I want to see this doctor. You come in the morning when the clinic opens and you sign up to see a particular doctor. And then they give you a time to come. Then you come back and, you know, you wait to see the doctor at that time. So it's a very time-consuming process. And this is on the pediatric ward, those are little twins. The education for preparation, nurses are still largely taught by physicians. It is changing, but they are still taught by physicians at medical institutes. They're not taught at universities like we have here. And the education is 3 years. The third year is when they specialize, and usually it's a specialization with whatever doctor they're going to be working with. So, for example, family practice started in the late 90s, and so, you know, they'd have a nurse that was, the last year would be how to, you know, specialize in family practice. A felcher is similar to our nurse practitioners, and they have 2 years of nursing, and then plus an additional 2 years, and they can work independent of the physician. And very often they're used in the very rural areas at the polyclinics that service, you know, anywhere, you know, from up to 2,000 patients. Midwives, the first year is they get the same education as nurses, but after that they specialize. And that's very common in Europe. Actually, we're the only country that requires a baccalaureate degree first before you can become a midwife. This is a felcher in a very, very rural area of Russia. And she just had two rooms. You see the bed where she sees patients, and then again, some of the medical records that are handwritten. And then this is where she would do treatments. But she was so excited to meet them. I came with nursing students. We visited her, and she was just so excited to see nurses from America because, you know, nobody goes out in that very rural area very often. This is back at the hospital. The woman in blue is a nursing student, and they do wear those kind of hats, and even the physicians do. They're pharmacies. They get medications from all over the world, and there is no FDA to regulate them at all. You don't need a prescription to get a medication. You can go to the pharmacy and purchase it outright. But typically, a doctor will write down a recommendation for some medicines, and they'll show that to the pharmacist. Now, the healthcare through the government does not pay for medications. They have to pay for that. Excuse me. They typically like our American medications, and they always think that they're better than any of the others. But they're more expensive, and so they don't usually buy them unless they can afford them. They can buy herbals at a pharmacy. Excuse me. And this is what you know, a pharmacy shelf would look like. Hospital nurses, and this is true for physicians also, they work a 24-hour shift and then 3 days off. 24 hours and another 3 days off. And basically what they do is they... Thank you. Excuse me. They basically follow a physician's orders. So if there's a treatment to be done, it's usually a very simple treatment, and they'll do that. Or they pass out medications. And otherwise, you don't really see them very often at the hospital. Home visits are made by nurses and physicians. But for the nurses, they usually will, if someone's going to be admitted to a hospital, and they use their hospitals for even respite care. The nurse will make a visit to the home and check their blood pressure and, you know, temperature, vital signs, and so on, and, you know, just see if they can be admitted. Actually, you know, I made a home visit with both nurses and physicians, and it's the physicians that do what our nurses do. They're the ones that actually do the complete physical assessments and any major treatments. Now, since the healthcare system is paid by the government, their patients are required to see a physician every year. And if you don't come, the physician will make a home visit to make sure that you get your physical. Physiotherapy is one of the alternative kinds of things that they do there. And this is often conducted by felchers, and they use herbals and machines to when they do this kind of therapy. And they'll also conduct massage. This was actually one of the students that went with us, and she had some sinus problems. So they put a salve on, and they use this kind of a electrical conduction. This is also one with some respiratory problems. And those pads, they soak them in warm water and put some herbals on them and put them on their face. And it has an electrical conduction that goes through it. then this is an individual who had some back problems. And it's the same principle. Acupuncture is also used. Now, it is done by physicians, but it is used. And they actually teach acupuncture to all physicians. They also teach massage to nurses and physicians. Now, this is Reiki. I was very surprised to see that this is practiced there. And it is practiced by some nurses, but it's not accepted in the hospital. So, you know, if it's going to be done, it's done in the communities. And there's just another picture of that. As I mentioned, massage, it is taught, nurses and physicians. And they will use massage, and at the polyclinics, they'll even do massage with some hydrotherapy. So what are some of the lessons we can learn from these nurses? I think one is that there is a place for Eastern and Western medicine, and I know we're seeing a little bit more of that being done here in the U.S., and I understand some hospitals are even starting to allow Reiki, and some insurance companies are paying for it. So, you know, I think there's a place for it. I think one of the benefits is it gives patients a variety of treatments, and you know, it can begin to put some treatment in the hands of patients. In Russia, if they want to get physiotherapy or massage, they don't need a prescription for a physician. They can self-refer and say, this is what I think, you know, I need, and they can go and get that. I also think that it really gives a little bit more of a holistic approach to health care. So, I don't know how much time I have. Okay, I'll show you some pictures of Russia. This is St. Petersburg, the Winter Palace, where the Tsars live. This is their summer palace, where they spend summers. This is Catherine the Great's palace, which is a beautiful place. I'm doing this to encourage some of you to go and visit. And I'll be taking students this spring, actually. And the clinic that we work at is north of St. Petersburg, and these are pictures up from St. Petersburg, which is a beautiful city with many palaces.
Louise, how long are you with students? How long are they
here? It ends up being about 2 weeks, just because it's 3 days of travel. It's 8 hours ahead, you lose a whole day. So it takes you like 2 days to get there, and then coming back, you lose a day, so you know, you lose 3 days. This is another cathedral. These are all museums now, but it's St. Isaac's. And some of you probably heard of the White Nights in Russia, where it never gets totally dark. This is about 2 o'clock in the morning, and it's a big celebration. This is the Neva River, and there's lots of bridges, 13 of them, and they each open consecutively. So there's a lot of festivities going on, or people on boats going through the bridges as they open. It's a really nice time. This is in Moscow, St. Basil's. I'm sure this is a very typical picture that you might see. This is the oldest cathedral in red in the Kremlin. It's from the 1400s. And this is, again, 10 p.m. It was wonderful. I stayed late for a long time. This was a very old shopping center, actually, a government one. It's still owned by the government, but they have private shops in it. And this is some Americana that's come to Russia. Unfortunately, it's not the healthiest of it. Cinnabon and Aunt Annie. I was really surprised. I went this summer. I was very surprised to see how much of Americana has come to Russia. I mean, before there was only McDonald's, now there's a lot more.
Are those in Moscow?
Yeah. And I'll just leave you with this picture. You know, there's a lot we can learn from each other. And I know that they're trying to change nursing education, and they're, you know, teaching the nursing process. They have started a master's program. It is mostly management. But those nurses are beginning to teach nurses, so we're beginning to see some changes. But it's very slow. So, and thank you.